Episode 9, almost double figures.
There we go.
That's impressive, isn't it?
It's been painful, but it's been fun.
It's not been painful, maybe it's for been you. Fun. You do all the editing, but it's been fine for me.
Yeah, the editing's awesome.
You love it. Shall we shut up and go on with this?
Probably.
Aye, let's do it.
Coming up in episode 9,
the wind,
the venue,
the Perth gift card,
the big dog of big dog books,
the upcoming events,
the new taproom, and more.
Yeah! Shall we start by mentioning that anyone that doesn't have a window, that it's been snowing?
It has been, yeah.
Has been. And not just snow, but it's been windy.
So, yeah, well, that was on Monday. I was driving to Glasgow and I was working in the morning in my building where I work. I'm pretty much, like, there's windows 360 more or less.
Oh, right.
And I was just looking out like, oh, no, come on. As it turns out, just drove a bit slower.
Yeah, it's
no problem at all.
Saturday night, a couple of bumps. Yeah, well, yeah, there was a few things going on, wasn't there? Because I drove on Monday to go and get a new motorbike in a high-sided vehicle. That was not fun.
Oh.
But on Saturday, of course, I think we've all seen the news about the venue.
Yeah,
so
that was so
the pub, the venue, got a massive shock when a chimney slash part of a gable end decided to crash through the roof. You know, probably thanks to the wind or whatever, but clearly not very stable, whatever that was that came down. But luckily enough, nobody was killed. And I'm absolutely shocked that that's the case, looking at where the rubble came down on the on the ground floor. And, you know, to Frank and all the people in there, I'm so glad you're okay and things. It's just a building at the end of the day. You'll get back on your feet. And I saw today, actually, they're reopening the back end of it, what used to be, what was it called back in my
Bar Cuba.
So the back end, in between Tay Street and, what's that street there on? St. John's. Is going to be open from that side, hopefully. So that's starting to get back in their feet. But obviously, a massive blow for the venue. If you can support them, people, get down there and support them.
Yeah. And there was about 80 folk in at the time as well. So
yeah, scary stuff. I can't even imagine what that sounded like. Jeez, you know, a wall coming through your roof.
Apparently, it sounded like a bomb.
No, I believe that. I absolutely believe that.
Everyone was just like, get out. Well,
if you drop one brick, you know how that sounds. You're talking about half a wall here. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a lot of noise. Yeah. So glad everyone's okay. And yeah, we'll get back in as soon as we can. We were just in there last week seeing a gig.
I know. Like, that's crazy.
But yeah, it's the winds were just horrific, weren't they? And it's... it's still kind of ongoing as we record now. It's not settled down yet.
No, because is it Kiara it was called?
What?
The storm?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't
it's,
get on
it's dying
this
down and Dennis is on their way.
So. Dennis. Again.
But by Sunday, hopefully this is calmed down.
I hope so. I absolutely hope so.
So what did the venue have to say?
Oh, right. Well, actually, yeah, on Facebook, they put out a statement saying that unluckily tonight, our neighbouring building's chimney breast fell through our roof, causing the roof to cave in and the top front of our building to be dislodged. Not fun. Thankfully, nobody has been seriously harmed, but the business will be closed until we find out the extent of the damage caused to our building. A big thanks to emergency services, Perth Police, Fire and Ambulance for all their help. And obviously, they're away getting the building surveyed to try and figure out how much damage has been done, what can be done with it. They're saying a massive thanks to all their customers and friends for their concerns, and they hope to see us all very soon.
And yeah, so you can still pop in and say hello to their staff at the Two Chihuahuas and have a drink or two in Pablo's Bar, which is open as usual.
Chihuahuas, that's old Gringos then.
Yes.
Have they renamed Gringos? I'm meant to know about this stuff and I'm obviously not on the ball.
I'm assuming it's Gringos, to be honest.
I think it is. I saw a wrap the other day there. It was like an apple pie wrap thing that they'd made. Ooh. I'm like, oh my God, that looks good.
That does sound pretty good, actually.
It does. Sounds amazing. Can we just stop recording and go and do that?
Yeah,
see you guys. That's the end.
Soon.
Bye-bye. but yes.
Well, that was lovely.
Short and to the point.
And that's we don't actually have any event roundups because we haven't been to any events.
No, we'd be very naughty. And we have been to events, but in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Sorry, people. But that, you know, the bands I like don't often play Perth, so I'm probably the same for yourself.
Get that changed, horse cross.
Yes, come on, guys. Well, in saying that, you know, I don't see backyard babies hitting up the horse cross. I don't see that going down very well. And the Wild Hearts as well, they were amazing. You were away seeing...
Bowling for Soup.
Bowling for Soup.
Reliving my 20s and teens.
Yes. So,
from the stage, though, I was on stage for that.
You hurt twice as much afterwards, so that's the problem.
Yeah, that's true. It was very, very...
So, we haven't really done anything this month. It is still early in the year. Things have gone a wee bit quiet. I get that. Seen a few announcements, of course, for upcoming things like continental markets and things like that, but we'll get into that soon.
Yep.
And we'll cover it near the time, of course, when it actually pops up. The one thing we did have, or sorry, you did have, because I bailed out on you basically, is Colin Munro from MyConnex.
Yeah, so Colin came in a couple of weeks ago to chat about MyConnex and the work they're doing with My Rewards and the Perth gift card. So here's a quick chat I had with him back then. Colin, thanks for coming along.
No, thanks for inviting me. I'm looking forward to having a chat.
So how are you doing today?
Very well, yes. Another day in Perth. So I've just been meeting with the Perth and Grosse Council, talking about a couple of projects we're working on with them.
Cool. Nice one. So over to you straight off, pretty much. Then tell us about yourself and tell us about what you do.
Yeah, I'll focus more on what MyConnex do, probably, rather than myself. It's probably more interesting. Yep. MyConnex, we're based right in the centre of Perth on King Edward Street. Mm-hmm. And we work with towns and cities across the United Kingdom to help them to develop local currencies and understand their customers. This started back in 2015, actually, working with Perth and Kinross Council, and looking at ways that we could help to drive footfall into the city centre and, you know, stimulate additional spend for the businesses of Perth. And we came up with the idea together to develop a city-wide gift card programme. Did a lot of research before that. You know, we went over to actually Sweden to look at some programmes over there that were working really well. And we were convinced enough to try it out in our home city. Pretty much knowing that if we could make it work here as a company, we would have a product to offer to other places in the UK that have, you know, everyone's got the same objectives. You know, everyone wants to have a successful, sustainable economy and a great place to live. You know, that's a common objective, I think, of towns and cities everywhere. So, yeah, we spoke to the businesses and explained what we were trying to do, you know, and they all got on board, thankfully, and launched the Perth gift card back in 2015. And it's just like a shopping centre gift card.
Yeah.
But it's for, you know, the indie businesses of Perth. So instead of buying someone an Amazon gift card when that money leaves Perth, never to be seen again, then, you know, treat someone to a Perth gift card and they can spend that card at any of the participating businesses. And that's across, you know, food and drink, retail, entertainment. You can go to the cinema, the concert hall, theatre. Treat yourself to a nice meal, go for a pint of the ship, whatever you want to do. You can choose how you spend your card, but it has to be spent in Perth.
Yeah.
So, you know, it locks money in for those businesses. It stimulates new trips into town. And then people like to explore as well, you know, because if I give you a £100 Perth gift card, you're going to do a bit of research and, you know, you might try a new business or one that you've not been to for a while.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot of hidden benefits. And you're probably likely to spend more than the value of the gift card.
Yeah.
People do that as well, you know, they tend to upgrade. So if you're going out for a meal, then you might have that extra bottle of wine or go for the fillet steak this time.
Yeah, and that's where My Rewards comes in. So anyone who's listened to these podcasts before, I know we've mentioned this a few times, but My Rewards, you know, you shop local, you sign up for it, you shop local, use your card that you've registered, get the points towards a gift card. And you're putting more money back in.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I didn't list that in the eight things because this was a post for across the country, any kind of town or city. We're slightly different in that we have a city rewards program that, you know, that works, that is really easy to participate in.
Yeah.
So as you say, you know, mi-rewards.com or download the My Rewards app on the app stores. And you can register. You only have to do this once. Register, link your debit and credit cards to your account. And that's it. Just go out and spend money, go and shop, have a meal, go for a coffee, have a pint, whatever it is. And you automatically earn 1 point for every pound that you spend. And then you can convert those points into gift cards for yourself to spend back in the city. And the businesses of Perth are the only city in the UK, if not the world, that will reward you when you spend money in the city. So we're leading the way on that front, mm-hmm. In terms of a smart city rewards program. And we're going to make it even more attractive to join. We're doing some shop local win big prizes coming up over the next 2 months.
Right.
And everyone that is registered for My Rewards will get the chance of winning these prizes. So again, you only have to do one thing, which is get involved and register. And then you'll have the chance to win some fantastic prizes. We're going to have two main categories, and we'll have a food and drink prize, and it'll be a prize packet. So someone will win. What we're trying to think is, you know, food and drink for a year across the city is going to be what we're trying to pull together with the businesses again. So it'll be meals for four, coffee for a year, you know, gin tasting, cocktails at Jubilee. It's a new cafe that's opened up on the high street. So and then there'll be another one about experience, which will be things to do, you know, so try and pull together all the attractions and the businesses have responded really well. So the prize packages are probably going to be worth, you know, £1,000 plus each one of them. And one lucky winner will win the whole package. So it's definitely worth registering for. And as you mentioned, that you're also at the same time, you're showing your kind of support mm-hmm. for the city.
So. Yeah. And there's no cost to a customer to sign up to My Rewards.
No. And although, yeah, there's no cost involved, you have to link your payment cards to it. And the only reason for that is so that we can reward you when you spend money.
Yeah.
That those payment details aren't held within the system. They're tokenized, so mm-hmm. we hold an ID rather than your
right. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So it's completely and utterly secure, mm-hmm. And that data is just used to reward you when you spend money with money that you can spend back in perks. So
it's almost like an invisible loyalty card in a way, because
exactly,
you're not having that. Yeah.
There's a lot going on in the city, and it's great that you're picking up on a lot of the highlights there. But same, you know, I would look at the social media following. If you use social media and, you know, you don't see every post, I think you'd agree.
Mm-hmm, completely.
So sometimes visiting the page and having a look to see what's going on. And then getting out there and supporting the events and the great businesses we have.
Yeah, excellent. No, that's been absolutely brilliant, Colin. Thanks for that. So like Colin says, shop local. It's a simple message. Stick with it. Thanks, Colin.
Thanks very much.
Cheers. Thanks.
So it's great to have Colin. I'm really sorry I couldn't be there, but, you know, work beckoned. But I think the biggest point I took from the full interview, which we will release in due course, is the whole idea of use it or lose it. And the bottom line is, if you don't shop in your city centre, things will disappear. And you mm-hmm. can't blame anyone apart from consumerism. The bottom line is, we buy a lot of stuff online, and if you're not buying things in shops, they will close down. This is supply and demand. It's been around for years. If there's no demand, there's no supply, and that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And not just to Perth, to all city centres, because people buy everything on Amazon.
Yeah, I was talking about that with one of my colleagues today, is the fact that she was saying she spent more money to buy things in the shop because she needed it there and then. So you're paying for that convenience. You're also paying for the fact you can see it and feel it before you...
Absolutely. And yeah. I do that with clothing. I mean, I don't buy shoes or motorbike gear or anything like that online, because I want to feel it. I want to know if it fits. Mm-hmm. And I do get the fact that Amazon's very handy, because most local shops, for example, as a photographer, they don't hold the pro stuff that I need. And I might need it tomorrow. I've run out of battery power. I've run out of something. And I need it now.
Mm-hmm.
And Amazon can deliver it tomorrow. And the shop can sometimes be 3-4 times the price. So there are times to do it, but actually local shops, I think a prime example of a local shop that gave great service is Craigton Mountain Supplies. I went in for shoes. I discussed with the lady about the fact I've got a bad back, and she stood there for hours talking, well, not hours, it was probably about 40 minutes, talking to me about posture, about how the shoe will affect my back. You don't get that online.
No, that's no. True.
So, and you know, the shoes were over £150, but they're still on my feet 2 years later, and they're not wearing away. You can go in and buy a cheap pair of trainers, and they're gone within a month. It's a false economy.
Yeah.
So buying good stuff with advice from local businesses, I think, highly valuable. And we need to buy things from them, or they will close down. Do you remember the spate of people going in and trying on shoes in the shop and then going away and buying them online because they were cheaper? What did you think was going to be the end game of that? What did you think the consequences were going to be, you know, 5-6 years down the line? Those shops will disappear because you've not spent money there, and money makes the world go round. Yeah, you can't pay the rent.
And you were saying, you know, it was over 150 quid, but you would rather give that to a local business like Craigdon than to Amazon or some other faceless corporation.
Yeah, they don't pay their taxes. Pay your taxes. did I say that out loud? Can we say that?
Perth podcast pulled from production. Nice alliteration.
So let's move on to what's actually coming up in Perth then.
Let's go for it.
Yeah.
What's coming up in Perth?
I don't know. I'm not there on the page. Give me a second.
I'll go first then.
Yeah, you go first because I'm lost.
So our friends at the History and Horror Tours are doing a History and Horror Tour of Dunkeld on Thursdays and Saturdays. So what they were saying, they posted saying that since Storm Dennis looks to be gatecrashing Valentine's weekend,
boo,
which is yesterday and today, if you're listening to this on release date, we've decided to postpone our first tour of the year until next week. So the first tour of Dunkeld will be on Thursday the 20th of February, and then they'll be back again on Saturday the 22nd for another tour. So you can get booking now, and more details are on their website at www.historyandhorrortours.com.
Now, I hadn't heard of them until we met one of the guys at the Norrie Miller Light Night event. So I'm actually online now, so I'm just going to give you a quick update of who they are. So at History and Horror Tours, we bring a passion for history, a talent for storytelling, and an interest in the darker side of Scotland's history, lore, and of course, ghost stories. Whether you're looking for an infamous pirate, an accused witch, a Jacobite officer... Jacobites
are like biscuits.
I was going to say, that's where my brain went, obviously. or a deceased grave robber. We have a whole collection from Scotland's past. We will even have our own hangman. That sounds dangerous. That I want to see the risk assessment for that. That can't be right.
is there an A in the word?
A?
You never played hangman?
Oh, no. Score that out. Yeah.
That joke failed. I'm out.
I'm gone. And his unfortunate victim... who perform and delight at a variety of events. Let us entertain your guests with twisted tales or join one of the tours as we retrace the footsteps of ghosts from the past and their dark stories.
Ooh. And the good thing is, knowledgeable and engaging.
Nice.
Yep. They're really entertaining.
That.
Yes.
We do. We like that.
It's a great combination for, you know, maybe a podcast.
we could do it live. Although if you're going to pee yourself on, I'm out. I don't want involved in that. Will you be okay?
It depends how long it lasts. I've got like a half hour
limit. It's nothing to do with being scared, is it? It's just weak bladder. So History and Horror Tours, check that out at historyandhorrortours.com. What else have we got, Stoby?
So on Saturday the 22nd of February at 10 o'clock, we have an event called The Role of the Chair.
And that's R-O-L-E.
R-O-L-E.
There's no bacon rolls here.
No. And it's not a four-legged but not living chair. It's a chairperson or being
this
a chairperson.
This is heading for false advertising.
Oh, it really is. So... what they're saying is being chair of your group can be a rewarding experience as well as a time-consuming and frustrating one. In this event, we'll provide opportunity for chairs of leisure time music groups to talk to one another, share their issues and experiences, and pick up some top tips from other chairs for how to approach the role and shape it to suit themselves.
Ah, so it's like a tutorial type thing for chair people. I mean, I suppose a lot of chairs or chair people.
Yes. Sounds better than chairperson.
They kind of get lumped with it in a way, don't they? I mean, they want to do it, but there's no training. It's not like in a job where if you become a manager, you're trained to become a manager, or generally you are, in theory. You know, and when I was a manager back when I worked at the newspapers, there was a progressive thing there. You got taught how to deal with people, how to deal with holidays and all that sort of stuff. They don't get that. So I actually end up with possibly someone who is really enthusiastic, but might not do a good job as a chairperson. Mm-hmm. This seems like a really good way to avoid that if that's, you know, if it sounds familiar. And I'm not saying you're bad at being a chairperson. I'm just saying that there's clearly a way to be better. There's always a way to be better. Yeah. For example, being podcasters, there's probably a better way than we're doing this. However, you know, but it seems like a really nice opportunity. And is that, is it free? Is there tickets there? Can we check that out?
It says tickets are available at makingmusic.org.uk.
Ah, well, there we go then.
So, I don't know.
Check it out, folks.
Yep.
We'll leave the suspense there. We don't know. Finger in the pulse, Toby.
Mm-hmm. My bad.
So changes in Perth. Recently, the Coolach Brewery, who used to be up at Inveramit, have opened up a tap room, which is really nice, along on Princess Street. So in the Arches, you know where the Arches are? In Princess Street?
Yes.
Yeah. Just before the Arches, if you're heading back to South Inch Car Park, mm-hmm. that's where the tap room is. So he makes his own beers, very small batch runs, very niche type stuff. I've actually got a tinny of it sitting here. A tinny, that's very glassy. Tinny. I've got a tinny here of Tayside IPA. So they have the Tayside beer. To go with the Perth gin and all the other stuff that we've got. But yeah, so nice big cans, modern labels and things like that, and just really nice tasting beer. Mm-hmm. And the tap room's open, I think it's Wednesday to Sunday, but check online, it's a new business, the hours will change, so definitely check the hours before you pop along. But I think it's really nice, you know, to see someone that's not as big as, say, Brewdog, and I love Brewdog, but mm-hmm. it's, you know, the small person from Perth doing the thing. So get along to the Coolach Brewery tap room on Princess Street.
What else have we got? You've been talking to me about something up in Lytham.
Yeah, so, God, I've gone from Glaswegian to posh. You see that? Just like
yeah.
That? Man of many times.
Ooh, Lytham.
In Lytham. So, Lytham for All is a charity that run for the people of Lytham to help, you know, the community. And they've recently taken on the hub, the Lytham hub, which was shut for ages after LiveActive left it. For whatever circumstance, I've no idea what happened there, but it was no longer open. So Lytham for All have basically taken it over. And this month they opened their community gym.
Cool.
So the gym section is open. There's treadmills, there's walking machines and rowing machines and all that sort of stuff. It is completely self-managed, as in if you go in and use it, it's at your own leisure, at your own risk as well. However, if you know how to work a gym, Lytham Community Gym is there for you, and that's at the Lytham Hub. I can't even describe where it is. It's around the back of the shop.
Tweedsmuir Road.
There you go.
Tweedsmuir Road.
So there's a membership cost that if you want to pay for that, which is a massive £10 a month.
I mean, that's
that's incredible, isn't it? And they've also, though, it's not just that that's there. The hub has got like the basketball courts are still there. That, you know, all that stuff's still there to be used. And they're doing things like vibe dance, needles and pin clubs, badminton clubs. There's a whole heap of stuff that's going on. Yoga, chatty crafters. It's becoming a real community. Well, a hub, funnily enough.
Hub. Yeah, there we go.
You know, they seem to have taken a bunch of people who maybe didn't have a home before. All these clubs are struggling to get somewhere and trying to bring it all under one roof.
Yeah, that's really good.
Great, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the hub is open. Check out the website Lytham for All. That's number four. Lythamforall.org.uk.
Nice one.
So in other news, we've got some businesses changing hands. Well, not changing hands, but moving. For example, John Ferguson's, which has been there as long as pretty much anyone in Perth can remember. They're moving out of their shop and moving somewhere else. So that's interesting. Keep an eye out for that one. In sadder news, PD Malloch, the fishing shop up the old high street, is closing for good, unfortunately. So that's a bit of a knock where they, again, have been part of Perth since I can remember. And there's no fishing shops anywhere I can think of in the local area. So that's a bit of a shame. There's a wee story about it in the Courier. Courier firmly trying to blame the rates, or trying to make them blame the rates. But of course, it's a downturn in trade again. Use it or lose it.
Strumming gently
That was a bit of Your Lullaby, a song written by Jason Blythe, who's with me in the studio today. Hi, Jason. How you doing?
I'm good, Stoby. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, man. Not bad. So, quickly tell us a bit about yourself then.
A bit about myself. How long have you got? I'm a music teacher at Bertha Park High School. I really enjoy working there. It's great kids up there. And in my spare time, I like writing music. And my ultimate dream is to get a song representing any country for the Eurovision Song Contest. So that's my ultimate dream at the moment. And I've only been trying actively for about 4 years to do that. So I think if I keep trying, by the time I'm 85, I'll hopefully have a song in there.
If the Eurovision's still going by then.
Oh yeah, I've got to be World Vision by then. Everyone will be friends with everyone by then, so it'll be fine.
Yep. And you've actually had success with that already though, with Tear Up the Dark, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I think it was 2017 or just the end of 2016. I wrote a song for the UK and it got rejected, and I was working at Kinross High School at the time as a teacher there, and some of my people said, do you want to, since you've been rejected, why don't you see if another country wants it? So I sent it to, well, I put it on YouTube to see if anyone wanted it, and a country called Romania, a pop singer actually, said that she wanted it, so she got in touch, and it just spiraled from there, really.
Nice one, yeah.
It got to the live shows, which was great, and it unfortunately it didn't do well. It came, it didn't win it. I lost out to someone singing a rap and yodeling. Unfortunately, had I known that that's what would have won it, I would have changed the lyrics quite a lot. But you know, you live and learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got another song sort of out for tender at the moment, don't you?
I do, although I can't see it getting picked. It's too late now.
Is it right?
So you can, from the 1st of September, you can put your song out into the public forum, into the World Wide Web for everyone to hear. So that's what I did. In fact, I waited until the 1st of October to do it. I used the singer that I've used for the last three songs, a fantastic singer called Kim Shepherd, who's part of a duo with a guy called Wes Wood, who's an amazing musician. And so I write it for them to perform, and then I produce it once it's finished. This particular song is slow and it's orchestral and it's different. But because it's different, it might not be everyone's cup of tea. And, you know, I think the thumbs up on YouTube is a good judge of it's good. And the thing is, I feel that if I'm ever going to have a chance of getting a song looked at, it has to become very popular very quickly online. The Eurovision community will take care of that for you, but it has to be a good, catchy song. And it's not done that, you know, it's had a modest 4,000 views, but it's, you know, Tear Up the Dark had around 60,000, so it's trying to gauge it on that.
Yeah.
But no, when the song is right, it will be, you know, you'll know about it. So I've not had that feeling yet. But
no.
I'll just keep plugging away.
Yeah. And I from experience, I know you'll not stop trying, because I know how your creative mind works. For those listening, when I asked Jason for a theme tune for the Perth podcast, I didn't really give him much guidance in the way of what I wanted.
You didn't at all.
Because I, from the science of fiction, from what you'd done for that, I knew that you didn't need much guidance and it would actually be brilliant. And first listen, we were both loving it.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, no, so appreciate that. Appreciate
no problem.
Your work on that. So with the Perth podcast, one thing we always kind of ask people is, if a tourist arrived in Perth and you were the first person that they spoke to and they said to you, what is the one thing that they should do in Perth? What would you suggest to them?
I'm going to go with a clear and obvious one, having been a massive St Johnstone fan, is to go up to McDermott Park and cheer on the team. You know, you could go to Celtic Park and you could go to Ibrox and yeah, it's full of people and you have, I'm sure it'll be a great atmosphere, but I mean, there's no atmosphere like watching your own local team, you know, winning a game up there. I go to every single home game. I used to go to all the away games until I had a child, so it's not her fault, by the way. I think that's something, there's one thing, that's the thing you have to do. You know, it's good community as well. I mean, you see a lot of the same people every single week, you chat to them, and no, it's such a good fun.
Jason, thanks for coming along. It's been a really great chat talking about Eurovision in a lot more detail than I expected.
No problem. Hopefully you've learned something today about
I've learned a few
how
things.
Eurovision works. And, there's no such thing as political or politics in Eurovision. It doesn't exist.
Just driving that message home, eh?
I've got 50,000 t-shirts on order to get printed, and I'm going to hand them out to everyone in Perth to say,
there's no politics in
there
Eurovision.
There is no politics in Eurovision. But there you go.
No, excellent. Thanks for that, Jason.
No problem.
I think we're done. Episode 9, in the bag.
Episode 9, the end of the Perth podcast.
Well, the end of the single-digit Perth podcast.
Or the end of this episode. Well, that's actually, fine then, yeah.
thanks for listening. Subscribe, like us, find us on Facebook, The Perth Podcast, Twitter.
Tell your friends.
Tell all your friends.
You want your event covered.
We need more events, guys. Yeah. If you don't tell us it's happening, you know, we can't find everything ourselves. Please do tag us. Find us. Make us co-hosts. We don't care. Just let us know that your event's happening and we'll cover it.
Absolutely.
But give us some notice. Beyond that, though, that's it. So hit that subscribe button and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for listening. See you.